When I was pastor at a church that had a Catholic school, one of the things I loved to do was to preach to the children. And sometimes I used visuals. Jesus used examples in his preaching at the time. So today, in the spirit of being childlike and open to the simplicity of God, I'm going to give you two visuals. And the first one is this. I don't know if you can see it, it's not that big, but Velcro. These little two strips of Velcro keep these pieces of my alb, my vestment, attached so I don't trip over it. So Velcro is the first. And the second thing is a pan made of Teflon. This I made Monsignor Hamburger last night for the meal, and after it was done, it easily slid off the Teflon pan into his plate, and also it was very easy to clean up. So Teflon and Velcro. As we look today at the second reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, it's one of the oldest writings of Christian literature. It was written in northern Greece in a town of Thessaloniki and about the year 50 AD, say scholars, less than 20 years after the death and resurrection of the Lord, less than 20 years. So it's close to when the great things happened. And in the letter today, three things Paul says at the beginning. Rejoice always. I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing to do. How do we feel joy in the midst of a pandemic? How do we rejoice over economic hardship? How do we rejoice when we are not meeting and connecting with family and friends as we want to do during the holidays? The second thing he says is, pray without ceasing. This also is very hard to do. If I am working on a project and thinking about the steps I need to take, I'm really not praying. If I am studying at school, I'm not really praying. So how is it possible to pray without ceasing? And the third thing Paul says is, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now this one is perhaps more attainable. Some of the great saints give us examples of that. I think especially of the little flower, St. Teresa of Lisieux, who when she was dying of tuberculosis and coughed up blood, she praised God and said, "My spouse has arrived." Something very, very strange as we look at it from the outside, but with a spiritual set of eyes, we can understand. Giving thanks to God's presence, even in the midst of that. So I think that these three things, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in all things are connected. According to some studies, when we are negative and blaming and complaining and fearful, our minds wrap around that like Velcro, sticking to it. For the most part, we are attracted to the negative. Look what sells the most in the news, negative sensational stories. When we hear something like that, we want more of the details and then focus on it for a long time. The human mind is somehow attracted to the negative. And on the other hand, when there is some really good news, we may acknowledge it, but it really has no lasting effect. The good news is like Teflon. It slides off easily. One example may be that we have to choose to come to Mass and receive the good news of Jesus Christ every week, not just on special holidays, We choose that good and develop a pattern of choosing. In our daily lives, in my own life, I have to do that all the time. Choose the positive instead of letting a negative, fearful thought overtake me. Like yesterday when I was and my siblings were a bit worried, we had not heard from our father in over a day. And he's one who texts us scores of games and things like that all the time, and he wasn't responding. So the negative started to come in, and I refocused, calling Jesus to take care of it, and things did work out. He was out with a friend. So the studies say that in order to break the cycle, we have to have a positive thought and stick with it for at least 15 seconds. If it's less than that, it does not imprint on the brain. So check out your own experiences with this. One of the things I do in the our staff meetings, which maybe they sometimes wish I wouldn't, but is we have a tendency to focus on issues and problems or challenges, but starting every meeting with the positive, what I call kudos time, giving thanks and praise for a colleague's good work. We can be so focused on ourselves that we forget to recognize the good things that are going on through the work of our neighbor. So to focus on that positive takes choice, and it takes effort. If we don't consciously pray, Paul says at the end of the passage, God will accomplish it. So it's not just by doing this good by willpower, saying, I'm going to have positive thoughts throughout the day. It is more a surrendering, allowing that great love which is inside each of us to become bigger. And when we consciously make those choices to be positive and bring good news. To discipline myself, to let go of negative and fearful thoughts in order to give thanks and praise to God who is present in every moment. And that's the follow-up for what I did. When Dad did text us all back, I said, thank you, God. He is safe, and letting it go was the right path. So, poverty and suffering of people can become overwhelming. Today, the news is negative, and it can just be so crushing. So we must choose to rejoice, and today is one day, Gaudete Sunday, in which we can reinforce that excellent Advent message. Make straight the way of the Lord, who is always good news, and wants to be born again and again in the midst of our families, our community, our church, and the world.